So I am talking about giving. If you've been to church before, we talk about giving quite a bit. And when you hear about the subject of giving, I wonder how you feel. Do you go, oh no, not again? Or do you have a big cheer? Shall I challenge you to cheer for giving this morning? Are you ready? Okay, right, so here we go. I am talking about giving today. I was waiting for the treasurer to be the one. And he kind of went, it's good. He's cheering for giving. Giving is a wonderful subject. God finds giving dear on his heart, and it is dear for us and in our discipleship as well. So I'm looking at giving part one today, and then Steve, our vicar, will build on this next week, looking at more of the practical side of things. Let's just look closely at what the scriptures have to say about this, what Paul is saying in this context, and then we will look at a bit of application. So Paul begins by focusing on God as the source of all blessings. God is the one who provides all that we need. And just in one verse, verse 8, if you look closely at verse 8, you've got the word all or every. And those words are used about five times in one verse. Maybe its emphasis there, a reminder to us of God's ability to care for us, him as the source of all blessing, as the one who gives and shows us how we will do it. As the chapter draws to a close in verse 15, Paul has still more to say about God's grace. So he picks up on God's grace, and it says, for when the Corinthians give, other believers will know that this is a result of the surpassing grace God has given them. And then how does he conclude? Verse 15. Last week was harvest, wasn't it? So we're looking at harvest. He says here, if giving produces such a wonderful harvest, it all flows from the initial act of God's generosity towards us in the indescribable gift of his Son. So giving doesn't start with us, doesn't start with you and me. It starts with God. So he gives first, and then our giving is a response to his giving. There's a word there, for those of you who like your languages, Greek. They're one of the original languages here. The word for thanks, verse 15, Greek word charis. Charis means grace. It means grace or charis, charisma, grace, gifts of the Spirit. So giving is a grace. It's a gift that is given to us by God. Now, when you think about giving, yes, we've cheered. Sometimes we think, I have 20 reasons why I should not give. So as soon as I say, our subject is giving this morning, some of you might go, yeah. Others might say, I'm not sure because of this. Here's a list. Dave Walker is a guy who puts together cartoons in the Church Times, and he says some of these things, some of the reasons people give. Well, the church has plenty of money already. Why should I give? Or, we can't afford it, if you hear a project that is mentioned. And then, I give my time and talents instead. I used to think this, so I was in that bracket. I was thinking, well, I don't need to give money because I give my time and talents and all of these things. Instead of giving money, I will do all these things, some people will say. The church isn't the place to talk about money. So if you came in this morning for the first time, you're thinking, why giving? Why money? We should be talking about something else that's deeper and more theological. Well, good news, it is deep and theological. Here we are. And then, there are two others I want to pick up here. So you can't see the words of these last two here. This is special for Steve and Caroline. They'll like this. So this one says here, can you see what's happening there? Our vicar doesn't deserve to be paid. That's what some people think, so they won't give because of that. Thankfully, St. Stephen's don't think that way, which is wonderful. And then, the other one is, somebody upset me once. So this last one here, so somebody says, well, I was upset once, so I won't give again because somebody upset me. Well, this morning I want to make a case for giving, a case for giving. Jesus calls and commands his disciples to live radically, and we are his disciples too. And so he challenges us to do that. Jesus says that if our hearts are set on human wealth and material gain, well, that is short-lived, because our focus should be on eternity and the things that last. There is so much about giving, so forgive me if I don't exhaust it all. And if I finish and you think you should have said that or the other, maybe in our connect groups we can say a bit more over tea and coffee. Ask me questions. I remember growing up and my parents saying to us one time, we're having a conversation around the subject of wealth and riches, because my dad was a pastor, church leader, and we wondered after church one day, why is it that everybody else looks richer than us? You're leading these people, but as we look around, they've got more, they've got this, they've got that, they've got that, they've got, as we walk along the streets, we don't seem to have as much. And then my parents used this line and said, you're rich. We are rich. And I thought, no, we're not. But they said, we've got Jesus in our hearts, so we are rich. If you've got Jesus in your heart, then you are rich, because that's the richness that lasts beyond all the material richness or wealth that we have. And I thought that was a fantastic winning statement there. So where my treasure is, Jesus says, there my heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This morning I'm looking at why and who we give to. And next week Steve will tell us more about the how we give. So, why do we give? I want to suggest three things here. And the first one, there are three there, but I'm taking them as one. We give as a way of praise and thanks and worship to God for all that he has given to us. Remember I said that giving starts from him. He gave first. And so we give in response or trying to learn from him who is the best giver than we are. So praise and thanks. But secondly, we also give in obedience to him, because he commands us to give. So we give in obedience to God. So if I don't give, sounds harsh, but I'm actually disobeying God. That's a sharp one, isn't it? But that's what it is. Because the opposite of obedience is disobedience. So if I don't give, then I'm disobeying. If I give, I'm obeying what God says. The other one is about joy. In two ways, that I give because as I give to others, there is a joy that fills my heart in seeing other people's needs met. As we give as a church, there is a joy in sharing what we have with others because needs are met and that fills our hearts. But also, God encourages us to enjoy all the good things that we have. So it is a joy in our giving, isn't it? When you receive, then you enjoy what you have because God encourages us to do that. So let me start with that last one, our joy. Verse 11 says, first the giver will be enriched. Paul explains that the Corinthians will be made rich in every way. God's provision for them will mean that they will be able to still be more generous. For that is the way God works. He provides more so that we can give more. Say it with me. He provides more so that we can give more. So that's how God's dynamic works there. In verse 14, part of the enrichment will be the fact that others will be praying for the givers. That's part of the response in fellowship. So as we give, when I give to Jonathan, hopefully Jonathan will say a prayer for me, hopefully. And as we give to charities, then those charities pray for us. So sometimes we wonder why the blessings that we're receiving, where are they coming from? Who knows? Maybe it's that gift that we gave that somebody's saying, Lord, I thank you so much for St. Stephen's. I thank you for them. I pray that you will provide for them just the right worship leader. And then God answers the prayer. Obedience. Their giving supplies the needs of God's people. Verse 12. The service of giving is an act of worship. Clearly, the initial reason why those people were giving here in Corinthians, and if you read on in chapter 8, was to meet the needs of Christians in Jerusalem, those who didn't have very much. So they were seeking, and Paul did this all the time with the churches around him, give so that you can be able to help the others who don't have as much as we have. And Steve will say a bit more about that next week when it comes to things like common fund. Some people might ask, why do we as a PCC, as a church, have to give more than the others are giving? Well, it's because as we give, maybe if God's blessed us with more, then another church that might not have as much as we do is able to benefit from that. And I talked about praise and thanks already. And in verse 11 there, their generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It's an overflow. It's an overflow of thanks to God for what he's done. Well, when you think of giving, there are two underlying themes, aren't there? Generosity and sacrifice. Generosity and sacrifice. For some of us, it's easier to give. Maybe we feel that we have the abundance. But then for others, you might think, now these letters are going to come next week with my name on them asking me to review my giving. Sam has preached that giving is obedience to God, so I should give something. Now, I haven't got very much. Maybe I have £100 and somebody else is giving 500 or from 1,000. What do I do? Do I give nothing? No. Verse 7, Paul says, each one should decide in their hearts what they should give. So it's from that place of generosity and yet still from a place of sacrifice. Next question, who do we give to? Let's take this from the why. So we've worked out why we give, but then who do we give to? We give to God. We give to ourselves. We give to those in need. When I say that, you might wonder, do we really give to ourselves, or is it right to be giving to ourselves? Does God really say that? Well, this is how I've put it on a practical front. If we put together our budget and think God first in terms of tithe and offering, your needs and welfare and savings, and those you are responsible for, and then think of those in need. And the question as we do that is, do our budgets, and I ask this to myself, does my budget reflect the priorities of God? What are the priorities in my budget when I put it there? Is it God, my needs, and others? I think that's the way it should be, because God is the source. He gives us, we give to him first, and then we enjoy the gifts that he gives, and then we share them with others. So here's my theology of giving. I'm drawing it from Matthew. So let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Question. Which one comes first? Your neighbor or yourself? Just pause. No need to answer that one. Okay, so I want to make a case that you come before your neighbor. And this is how I'm reading this passage, okay? So, love the Lord your God with all your heart. So God is number one, right? That's clear. Love your neighbor, what does it say? As? So who do you love first? Do you feel guilty for loving yourself first? Sometimes we do. Sometimes I do. And yet, maybe that's why sometimes our giving is reflected in that way. If I'm not loving myself, I'm not saying go over the top and be self-obsessed, that's not the point. But if I'm able to look after myself, then I think I am able to look after my neighbor. So then my giving comes from a place of joy. Yeah? Let's put it this way. If I was asked to come and share a meal with Gary. I remember the name. I was just allowing him to wake up. All right. So if I'm coming to share a meal with Gary, okay, and then I haven't eaten myself, would I enjoy that process of sharing my meal with Gary? I wouldn't. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't. If I was hungry. At the same time, God still encourages us to give from a place of sacrifice. Okay, so it's not really about the quantity and how much I'm putting together to give to Gary, but I can decide I will eat something and I'm full and healthy and it's just right. Then I put aside enough to give to Gary. I see some puzzled faces. Come and talk to me during tea and coffee and we'll expound this a bit more. Or in your home groups or connect groups. Some people are part of connect groups. Don't put your hand up if you're not in a connect group yet. Find one. But that's a good place to talk about things like this a bit more and understand what does it actually mean. Let's say this together. Giving is worship. Giving is worship. Okay. Now here's another passage just to reinforce what I was saying. The way this cycle works with God is from a place of sowing and reaping. We sow and then we reap. Giving creates a ripple effect for the benefit of all who are concerned. God gives to us and then we give back to Him. We give and we are given back. If you know me, you know that I like to do a bit of singing. So here we go. Before we get there, let's read this scripture first, because that's what it's about. Let's read that 1-3. Read the Bible verse as well, so that you remember. 1-3. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Or sometimes it says into your bosom. So you know, it just means that you have quite a lot there. Okay, don't think too much about the... Here we go, carry on. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let's get the right key. I didn't sing this out. I wrote it down and practiced the tune in my head. So this is the first time I'm singing it. We hope it works, okay? If you're listening online, forgive us if it doesn't work, but it will. Give. Okay, so you sing. Give. And then I'll sing the other bits that say leader. And then when it comes to the next bit, you sing again. Give. And then I'll do that bit there. And then the last one, can we sing together? Say, 'cause when you give to the Lord. Sing. 'Cause when you give to the Lord. Give, and it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Give, and it will come back to you. 'Cause when you give to the Lord. Can you do this clapping? One, go. Give, and it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. And it will come back to you. 'Cause when you give to the Lord. Very good, very good. Well done. Big clap for yourself. See, you can manage to sing without practicing. You've done it. You've done it. Paul's message here is not to get us to a place of saying, well, my motivation of giving is so that I get back. That's not really what he was saying. But he's saying that the more we have, the more we should give. It's a source of obedience. It's a source of joy. It's a source of thanks. And as we do that, in so doing, in so obeying God, in seeking him first and his righteousness, then it comes back to us. So that's not the motivation or the focus, is so it comes back. But so that as we focus on God, then he takes care of those needs. When Christians give sacrificially and generously, it reflects the fact that they have experienced the grace of the gospel and understood the dynamics of Christian fellowship. That's how it works as we read through Acts. It's full of giving and sharing and giving and sharing. And that's the witness that we have. As we do that, then others who are not Christians, others who are not yet in that place can see. And maybe there's a witness there in their hearts to the gospel. Just bring this to a close. So why do we give? We give to respond to God in praise and worship and thanks. We give to say, yes, Lord, you encourage me to give, so I will do as you say. We give to because our joy is made complete. Giving is a commitment to the gospel. And who do we give to? We've said that there. We give to God. We give to
ourselves.
And we give to
those in need.
There's a figure that I had in my head this morning, and I wrote it down here, and I remembered where it's coming from. 11K. That's not a marathon, is it? 11K, 11,000. Can you all say 11K, 11K? 11K. That stay in your head, 11K. Right, this is the outstanding amount for our budget next year. So if you just think of 11K, take it away with you, 11K, 11K. And then the prayer is, what do I do about this? Next week, when the letters come through, let's think about our planned giving scheme. Thank you first to those who have been giving and been part of this. Maybe you've been part of St. Stephen's for a while. Maybe it's still new to you. But thank you for those who have been giving, responding to this. It's what makes the church run. It's what makes ministries happen. Sometimes we look at church and we think, gosh, St. Stephen's does so much. How does it happen? How do we sustain the staff team and all these things? It's through our giving. I won't go into the depths of it. I'll allow Steve to say more about that next week. But maybe if you haven't yet joined the giving or decided yet what to give, between now and next week, and maybe beyond next week, just ask God what he might be challenging you to do. Is it to up your giving if you have more than you had this time last year? Or is it to maintain what you have now?